You still waiting for Henry? Is he not?
Yeah, I guess he's early. Oh, I don't worry. Well, so to tell you that, pray for us. The Sox were all with you all this week, and the Fed's having a special for thing for you just before you go on in here tonight. Y'all are good, very pleased with the way everything was going, you know. Please, for the Moscow, Dr. Paul. The bombing.
Like the bombing. A hell of a lot more people like the bombing.
City's been having press conferences everywhere he goes. Chicago. No, Minneapolis. Minneapolis paper had a lead on the headline of the story out of this press conference saying, Graham backs Nixon, denies political ties or something. He said, I, of course, always put it non-politically. And he said, the only way they could come out of it was that I was pumping for the president. I said, they asked me if I was a close friend of the president. So I said, yes, and I was a close friend of President Johnson. But also, I tried to be close to anybody who can benefit from my help. But then he goes into the butt part of the next thing too, and he goes and thinks he's over there. Kind of down to that. Cut it short.
No, I'm not going to deliver it fast. I can't. It won't be more than
20 minutes. No time problem, so.
I think we've got it well worked out now with Scotty got his thing to be.
Now we've got a thing, you see.
It's a nice little thing to put on. So we've got that too.
Incidentally, April's not bunker.
Was it?
Yeah, I'm going to use a mistake. Probably get straight down. Grab that.
Well, shoot.
Grab some Polariani and get some of the plunder.
That builds speech a little too, sir.
Well, it's just right. The right context. That's the story today on the Russian.
Are they getting those stories off them? I mean, are they getting them play? I know Henry sees the wire, but I don't know the name of that.
Well, we're getting them quietly, too. Then there's a story that there's a Russian delegation in Hanoi.
Well, that's good. You know, that's going to give people a little hope.
I don't know. It's tough and shitty, but it doesn't have
a lot of hope at the end, you know what I mean? It doesn't have the usual job to do.
I think that's better.
Obviously, you can do it. Maybe I have to go back. That's what the price of our price is. And what I just a plea for hope and all those. You know what I mean? I just haven't got that in there.
No, I don't think you need that.
All right, July 1st, let's look at the records. Yeah, I'm still going to go through the whole thing. Nice, I'm up. By July 1st, we would have drawn over 90% of our forces for Vietnam in 69. Before the enemy's invasion began, we had cut our hair so our teeth in half. We have offered exceedingly generous terms for peace. The only thing that we have refused to do is to accede to the enemy's demand to overthrow the lawfully constituted government of South Vietnam and to oppose a communist dictatorship in its place. As you will recall, I have warned on a number of occasions over the past 3 years that if the enemy responded to our efforts to bring peace by stepping up to war, I would act to meet that attack for three reasons. To protect our remaining American forces, permit continuation of our withdrawal program, and prevent the imposition of a communist regime on the people of South Vietnam against their will. with the inevitable bloodbath that would fall over hundreds of thousands who have dared to oppose communist aggression. The air and naval strikes of recent weeks have been carried out to achieve those objectives. They have been directed only against military targets supporting the invasion of South Vietnam. They will not stop until that invasion stops. The communists have failed in their efforts to win over the people of South Vietnam politically. General Avery believes they will fail in their efforts to conquer South Vietnam militarily. Their one remaining hope is to win in the Congress of the United States and among the people of the United States. The victory they cannot win among the people of South Vietnam or on the battlefield of Vietnam. The great question then is how we, the American people, respond to this final challenge. Let us look at what the stakes are, not just for South Vietnam, but for the United States and the cause of peace in the world. If one country, armed with the most modern weapons by other countries, can invade another nation and succeed in conquering, other countries will be encouraged to do exactly the same thing in the Middle East, in Europe, and in other international nations' spots. If the communists win militarily in Vietnam, the risk of war in other parts of the world would be enormously increased. We are not trying to conquer North Vietnam or any other country. We want no territory. We seek no bases. We have offered the most generous peace terms, peace with honor for both sides, South Vietnam and North Vietnam, each respecting the other's independence. But we will not be the people. And we will never surrender our friends to communist aggression. We have come a long way in this conflict. South Vietnamese have made great progress and are now bearing the brunt of the battle. We can now see the day when no more Americans will be involved there at all. But as we come to the end of this long and difficult struggle, we must be steadfast and we must not falter. For all that we have risked and all that we have gained over the years now stands hanging in the balance of the conflict. If we now let down our friends, so sure we'll be letting down ourselves and our future as well. If we now persist, history will thank America for her courage and her vision at this time. That is why I say let us bring our men home from Vietnam. Let us end the war in Vietnam. But let us end it in such a way that the younger brothers and sons of the brave men who have fought in Vietnam will not have to fight again in Vietnam. Any man who sits here in this office feels a solemn and heavy weight of obligation to future generations. No man who sits here has the right to take any action which would abdicate America's great tradition of world leadership. Earlier this year, I traveled to Peking on a historic journey for peace. Next month, I shall travel to Moscow on what I hope will also be a journey for peace. In the 18 countries I visited as president, I have found great respect for the office of President of the United States. I have reason to expect, based on Dr. Kissinger's report, that I shall find that same respect for the presidency when I visit Moscow. I do not know who will be in this office in the years ahead, but I do know that future presidents will travel the nations abroad in earnest for peace as I have. If the United States betrays the millions of people who have relied on us in Vietnam, the President of the United States, whoever he is, will not deserve nor receive the respect which is essential. The United States has played a great role, we are destined to play, in helping to build a new structure of peace in the world. It would amount to a renunciation of our morality, an abdication of our leadership among nations, and an invitation for the mighty to prey upon the weak all around the world. It would be to deny peace the chance peace deserves to have. This we shall never do. Let us then unite as a nation in a firm and wise policy of peace. Not the peace of surrender, but peace with honor. Not only peace in our time, but peace for generations to come.
Well, I think that's...
You think that's too bold?
Okay. Good. I hope it's not
too negative.
No. I don't think it's negative at all.
That's the feeling the others have. We'll take a little walk.
You've got to just give peace a chance, huh?
Well, we have to doubt.
The first question.